We're doing the book of Yonah. The book of Yonah comes back every year, come Yom Kippur. And it's fascinating how the book has an eternal message, and yet the message takes on new meaning every year. The simple reading of the book of Yonah is about how people were given a call of doomsday. The Navi comes in and says, God says it's over. And the people don't give up. Notice that God does not call out to them to do tshuva. Quite the contrary. God comes and says it's over. Very different than the prophets who came to Israel. Over here the Navi is coming and saying, it is over. Hashem is overturning the city. So what would I think the normal response would be? Let's get out of here. If the city is going to be overturned, let's run. That's not what they do. They realize that any problem that we're facing at the root of the problem is our behavior. If Hashem says it's going to be overturned, then obviously there's a reason why it's going to be overturned. And if we only tackle the reason, then the city will not be overturned. And so we stand in Yom Kippur. As we approach the end of Yom Kippur, we read the book of Yonah. And the book of Yonah has a resounding message. A message that's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, the book of Yonah places the responsibility of our future at our footsteps, at our doorstep, in our hands. The Navi comes and says, even when there's a decree, even if you're coming from Rosh Hashanah, even if the prophet walked in and said, 40 days and it's over, well, you have those 40 days. And those 40 days correspond to the 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul to the end of Ne'ilah, to the end of Yom Kippur. 40 days. But the book of Yonah is a double-edged sword. Because the book of Yonah also reminds us how other people have done better than us. When we look at the plight we're in, we have to be reminded that the city of Nineveh did do tshuva, but the city of Jerusalem did not do tshuva. And so the city of Nineveh came, Nineveh being the capital of the Assyrian Empire, and caused the greatest Holocaust, quite possibly in Jewish history. Yet the northern 10 tribes exiled and basically annihilated from the face of the map. So the book of Yonah is a very interesting book. We read it at the climax of Yom Kippur. We're about to enter Mincha, Ne'ilah. It's the last 2 hours of the day. And this is the message. The book of Yonah. And as we read the book of Yonah, we will see the messages interwoven. Many messages in the book of Yonah. Messages that speak loud and clear. Messages that remind us how we are running, just as Yonah runs from God. We are running. We are avoiding. As the Rebbe of Kupchit said, it is so easy to say, Hashem is Melech HaOlam, when you look externally. But how much harder to say Hashem is Melech HaOlam when we look at ourselves. We could declare Him king over Iran, but could we declare Him king over ourselves? And so the book of Yonah begins, Vayhi devar Adonai el Yonah ben Amitai lemor. It was the word of God to Jonah, the son of Amitai, saying the following. We have a tradition that Yonah was that child who dropped dead and was resuscitated by Elijah the prophet. And Yonah was a prophet, the son of a prophet, and Hashem tells him, Kum, arise. Leich el Nineveh ha'ira gedolah ukra aleha. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and call upon it. Ki aleta ra'atam nefanai, for their evil ways, their immoral behavior has come up before me. And as we usually do, we'll summarize the story of the book of Yonah before we continue. So Yonah gets a prophetic vision telling him, go to the city of Nineveh. And Yonah knows that Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian Empire, if they find favor in God's eyes, so then they will come and destroy us. God is telling him, go warn them. And Yonah thinks, why should I warn them? Let them be destroyed. It's better. And so Yonah runs out to the sea. And when he runs out to the sea, Hashem sends a whirlwind out to the sea. And Yonah realizes it's all a message for him. And then Yonah is ultimately thrown overboard. And a whale swallows him and spits him out onto dry land. And then Yonah is again sent to Nineveh. And this time he goes and he warns them. And they do repent. And just as Yonah feared, they come and destroy the 10 tribes. But the book of Yonah does not end with that. The book of Yonah ends with Yonah being very upset at the mercy of Hashem. And Hashem telling him, of course I'm going to have mercy over a city with so many men, women, children, animals. There's so many people over there, so many innocent people and animals. Of course I'm going to have pity over them. And that is the final message of the book of Yonah. So now we begin again. Do you guys want me to read the book with the traditional tune? Or just read and translate? Yes? No? Yes, traditional tune. Okay. So we're up to Pasuk Gimel. You want Hebrew English Tanakh? We have over here. That deserves a class unto itself. The idea of what level of Hashgacha Peratit do Jews, non-Jews, animals, plants, what level of Hashgacha Peratit do they have? That's really one of the discussions that emanates from here. On the surface, we would say no. On a deeper level, we would say yes. The prophet spoke of other nations, but here we have a prophet being sent to another nation. That's a slight difference. Now, we have to know that it's unclear. There are two discussions that we should bear in mind as we read the book of Yonah. Among our sages, there are two approaches to Yonah. One understanding among our sages puts Yonah among the righteous of the righteous. Top line, according to the Medrash Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Yonah is still going to come and slaughter the Leviathan in the days to come. So Yonah ends the book a great victor. As much as he suffers and Hashem gives him the final message, but Yonah is tremendously pious. The more well-known tradition is the opinion that Yonah sinned, Yonah erred, Yonah went too far trying to protect the people of Israel, and so he never again got prophecy. Hashem was really upset with him. And so Yonah ends the book on a low instead of a high. Two different opinions among Chazal. And we're continuing the book of Yonah in the 12 minor prophets just before Tehillim. So Tehillim is easy to find. That's the biggest book in Tanakh, right? Just before Tehillim, you have the 12 smaller prophets, and then Yonah is Sheah, Yoel, Amos, Ovadia, Yonah is the fifth among them. Vayakom Yonah livroach Tarshish. We're up to the third verse. Yonah arises to run away to Tarshish milifnei Adonai, from before God. Vayered Yafo vayimtza oniya ba'at Tarshish vayiten sechara vayered ba lavoimahim Tarshish milifnei Adonai. Yonah finds a ship that's going out to Tarshish. We don't know where Tarshish is. And he pays the full wages for the ship. Yonah was a very wealthy man. And he goes down to the bottom of the ship and he figures prophecy can only come on a person in Israel. Prophecy can only come when a person has his presence of mind. I'll be on a ship. I'll be seasick. I won't be able to get prophecy. God won't tell me what to do. There's two opinions among our sages, whether Yonah had just transgressed and was supposed to get the death penalty, midah b'day shamayim, if God sends a prophet to prophesy and he is kovesh nevuato, he decides to withhold his prophecy. God said go, and he decides I won't. So then, if that's what happened here, so then Yonah was supposed to get the death penalty at the hands of heaven. But one can argue that Yonah was not yet given prophecy. God gave him a directive, go to Nineveh, and then I'll give you the prophecy. So he just didn't go to Nineveh. One can argue that he was trying to circumvent the prophecy. So he figures, let me run. From before Hashem. Hashem doesn't give prophecy in Chutz La'aretz. The simple understanding here is that Yonah figures Hashem wants me to stand up for his people. If Hashem told me to do something that would be detrimental to his people, so just as Moshe was ready to give up his life to save the Jewish people, I too should be willing to give up my life. And so even though Yonah might be sinning a great sin, Yonah says, I'm not going to be the cause for their death. And there's a strong basis for Yonah's move. The Medrash Rabbah tells us, one of the rabbis was living in a town in the north, and the Romans came and surrounded the town and said, so-and-so committed a crime, give him over, and we want to execute him. Now, the Mishnah tells us in Trumos, if a group of bandits surround a Jewish caravan, surround a Jewish city, and say, give us so-and-so, or we'll kill the city. So if they single out one person, so then the Mishnah says, you may do it. We rule, it depends. Does he deserve the death penalty? Do they have real cause for administering the death penalty? But at any rate, if they say they have a cause and they point to one person, so then it's agreed upon that the city doesn't have to give up their lives. They just want him. They have to give him up. So the rabbi, in adherence with that ruling, went in and said, give me that fellow, and he gave him over to the Romans. So Eliyahu used to appear to this rabbi on a steady basis. He wouldn't show up to him again. And the rabbi prayed, and finally Eliyahu showed up again. And he asked Eliyahu, why'd you stay away for so long? So Eliyahu said, why'd you give over a Jew to execution? So the rabbi said, but that's the halacha. So Eliyahu said, yes, is that the halacha for the pious? Were you supposed to be the one to give him over? Let it happen. The people would have done it anyways. Why did you have to go over, grab the guy and give him over? It would have happened. You didn't have to do it. So sometimes we say, maybe this isn't my job. If it has to happen, who says it has to happen through me? So Yonah figures, if this is going to happen, I don't want it to happen through me. Now, we said there are two questions as we read through the book of Yonah. Question number one, we said, is Yonah tremendously pious, or is Yonah extra tremendously pious? Is he tremendously pious, but he made a mistake, and then he ends up the book on a down? Or is he extra tremendously pious to the point where God says, you're with me till the future. I want you to be there to slaughter the Leviathan, etc. But there's another question as we read the book of Yonah. The Gra in his commentary on the book of Yonah, the Gra writes, that Yonah, who knows what does the word Yonah mean? A dove. The Gra learns there wasn't a prophet named Yonah. Yonah is a reference to a dove. And this is all a prophetic vision about the journey of the soul into this world. And so the Gra takes us in the whole book of Yonah and shows us how the whole book is talking about the travails that the soul has to put up with as it contends with the world down below. It is the dove that is coming out here. So that's a longer discussion. Coming back to our regular reading of the book of Yonah, Pasuk Dalit. Vadonai hektil ruach gedolah elayam vayisal gadol bayam. And Hashem in His heavenly court placed a great wind down at the sea, and there was a tremendous whirlwind and waves down at the sea. Veha onia chisheva lehishaver. And the people on the ship thought the ship was going to be wrecked. Now the poor people on the ship were 3 days' journey out into the sea when a tremendous whirlwind came and threw them back to the port. And Yonah, as he approached the port, saw this ship being thrown back into the port. So Yonah figures, wow, this is a sign. God wants me to do this. And I always like bringing this example because people think they see signs. So Yonah had a sign. The ship was 3 days out journey, and a wind comes and throws it into the port. So wow, that's a great sign. God wants me to run away. Look, I'm doing the spirit of the law. And Yonah boards the ship, pays the fare for everyone, and tells the the captain set sail, and now he's out at sea, and there's a tremendous wind. And everyone on board the ship is confident the ship is not going to last. Vayireu ha-malachim, vayizaku, ish el Elohav. So the sailors got scared. You had sailors there from every type of pagan cult, country, belief, religion. Everyone starts praying to their idol. Vayatilu et ha-kelim asher ba'onia el ha-yam le'akel me'aleihim. They threw off all the vessels from the ship. They figured, let the ship move more freely in at sea and it won't be destroyed by the waves. Ve'yonah. And what does Yonah do? What does Jonah do? Yarad el yarketei ha-sefinah. He goes down to the bottom level of the ship. He figures, if the ship's going to sink, I'll die first. It's probably my fault what's going on here. And this way, maybe the rest of the people will be spared. And that's an interesting thought. Yonah is concerned for everyone else. Suddenly, his plan is not working out. So he figures, let me put myself in the riskiest spot, and hopefully I'll save the rest. Vayishkav, vayeradam. And he goes to sleep. He lays down and he goes to sleep. What was Yonah doing? So there's a machloket. Chazal, according to one interpretation, say that when Yonah went out to sea, he was interested in committing suicide. Yonah went out to sea thinking, okay, I'll die. Better I die than I be the cause of the greatest Holocaust in Jewish history. So Yonah says, fine. If I have to die, so be it. Life, you know, I was here. If my purpose is to be the cause of the destruction of the world, well, let me die. Yeah.
How is Yonah going to be the cause of the Holocaust?
We discussed in the very beginning that the city of Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, which would, in a few years, exile the 10 northern tribes, which was an annihilation, which was, according to our tradition, far greater than the Holocaust.
But how would Yonah have caused?
If he causes them to repent, then they won't be destroyed. Then they'll be able to do that annihilation. If he does not come and rebuke them, then they'll get destroyed. And he won't have left our nemesis around. He won't have been the cause for keeping our nemesis around. Vayikra ve'lav rav ha-chovel vayomer lo malecha nirdam. So the captain comes near him and he says, don't you realize there's a danger? How do you sleep at a time like this? Kum kira el Elohecha. I understand you don't know how to deal with ships, but talk to your God. Ula yitashet Elohim lanu velo noved. Maybe God will change his mind. We won't die. What's the message here? Maybe God will change his mind. Even a pagan believes you could get God to change his mind. And this is going to be the recurring theme of the book of Yonah. Yonah does not tell the people of Nineveh, repent. He tells them destruction is on the way. And the people see it as obvious that I'm supposed to do something, and if I do something, then maybe things will change. Even the pagans on the ship realize that. Vayomero ish el re'ehu. So now, the people on the ship start looking around, and they see, hey, what's going on here? No one else is having trouble at sea. The waves seem to be focused on our ship, so they start saying one to the other, Lecho v'napil lagoralot v'ne'idah b'shelemi hara'a hazot lanu. Let's draw lots and let's know who caused this. There must be something wrong going on here. There must be something on our ship that's causing us to have this happen to us. This is unusual. V'yapilu goralot v'yipol agoral al Yonah. So they draw lots once, twice, three times. Every time Yonah comes up. Vayomeru elah vagidana lanu basher lemihara zot lanu. They tell us please, who caused this bad state to happen to us? ממלכתך ומאין תבוא מארצך ומי זה עם אתה. What do you do? Where are you coming from? What nation? What land? Maybe the people you're from are evil people. Maybe your land. Maybe the gods are upset at the people of your trade. What's going on here? Vayomer aleihem ivri anochi v'et Adonai Elohei ha-shamayim ani yarei asher asa et hayam v'et hayabasha. He tells them, sorry guys, I am a God-fearing person, and my God created the land and the sea, and he controls everything. And even though I thought I would escape him, but he controls everything. And here is Yonah's first step in educating us. So Yonah knows Hashem controls the sea. Either Yonah's thoughts were, I'm going to commit suicide, or Yonah's thoughts were, maybe God approves. I'm trying to avoid destroying his own people. But he tells the sailors, the God I fear, he controls everything. Vayiru anashim yirah gedolam. And the people were very scared because they knew, vayomeru elahav mazot asita. They knew that he had sinned against Hashem. So they knew they couldn't appease Hashem with money. This wasn't about money. So they're standing there, dumbstruck, and they say, okay, so you believe in a God that controls the heaven, the earth, the land, the sea, and you believe he told you something, and you didn't listen? And you didn't listen? So this is the second message of the book of Yonah. If he controls the heaven and the earth and the land and the sea, then just as the pagan sailors say to Yonah, the book is really screaming out at us towards the end of Yom Kippur. If you believe all that, you didn't listen. Ki yade'u ha'anashim, ki milifnei Adonai hu voreach, ki higid lahem. The people knew he was running away from Hashem, for he told them. And this is the third message of the book of Yonah. He's running away from Hashem. And somewhere, every person is running away from Hashem. And we approach Yom Kippur, and to a certain degree, we're asking ourselves, I've been a good boy this year. We like to think of Hashem as Santa Claus. Yeah? I've been a good boy. You can look at your list. But there's a point inside us which we want to keep to ourselves. So I know what you want, and to a certain degree I'm going to do what you want. But there's a threshold which we don't want to cross, you know. Only so far. You want me to really focus, to really think like you really run the world? You do, I'm willing to say it. I'm willing to behave like you do it almost. But then we're faced with those tremendous contradictions where we all know there are tremendous contradictions. If we'd really, really connect to this idea, we'd behave differently. We'd have self-control where we allow ourselves not to have self-control. We would go the extra mile where we don't go the extra mile. We can all point to what we did right. And we look at what we did wrong and we say, no, say there, big deal, but I did so much right. And that's true, we did a lot that's right. But there's, at the core of it all, at the core of all of Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, is the question, I can recognize him as king over everything else, but, you know, leave me my autonomy. And every person has that area where he says, you know, I can respect the Torah, it's a beautiful Torah, up to a point. At some point I say, hey, so Yonah is running away from Hashem. And so too every person in certain areas of his life is running away from Hashem. One of the hardest things is for a person to look inside and say, okay, I can tell you what it's similar to. Bezrat Hashem, you'll be married. And you'll want to share a lot with your wife. You want a partner in life. And you'll also want certain autonomy. But there's a part of who we are that we're very scared of putting out on the table. We can connect on many levels. And then there's a part of us that we seal off, and that's mine. But deep down inside, we want to share that with the other person, but we're very scared. How's that other person going to take it? And what's going to be if I tell them what's going on deep down inside of me? And you know what they're going to do? They're going to laugh. And they're maybe going to look down at me. Or maybe they're going to say they're not going to take it seriously. Or they're going to go something along the lines of, come on, get over that. You're not serious. And sometimes people take like these baby steps towards putting it on the table, and when they get smacked, so then it's like, you know, you wrap it up 15 different times, and okay, not doing that one again. Okay, you didn't get it. You had your chance, and it takes another half a year, 2 years, 3 years, before you have the courage to even consider putting it out on the table again, and then you get smacked all over again, and the other side didn't even know what you meant to say, right? You didn't even get that far. So there are parts of us which we're very guarded about. And the same holds true in our relationship with Hashem. And at different stages in life, it manifests itself in different ways. So Yonah says he's running away from Hashem. And that's his problem. Hashem tells him, I'll do everything you say, Hashem, except. A problem. Now, you guys have not been here long enough because we've had discussions about this idea. And over here we're touching on it, but really and honestly, it deserves a broader discussion. I cannot respect someone who walks into Machon Meir and 2 weeks into Machon Meir says, I used to be Muslim, I used to be Buddhist, but now I'm here at Machon Meir, I'm convinced this is the truth. Give me an Uzi, where's Amalek? Excuse me? In 2 weeks? You think you know and you're convinced and you're ready to go and fight the wars of the Torah? That's not real. When we say a person is running from Hashem, that doesn't mean that in one Yom Kippur a person can acquire everything. We grow. But we have to realize that there are points where we are tempted not to let ourselves grow. Where I can do a lot of things, but up to a point. And we have to be open to working on evolving on those points as well. And that's what we might call what Yonah says, I'm running away from Hashem. Hashem, I'll do whatever you want, but up to a point. You're telling me to destroy the people of Israel? Get someone else. So again, according to one opinion in Chazal, Yonah was one of the greatest people of Jewish history, to the point where Hashem made him promise that he's going to be there when comes time to feed all the righteous. He's supposed to have a hand in that. He's supposed to be the one that takes the first step. But there's the dual meaning, the dual understanding of Chazal as to the whole story of Yonah. Vayomiru elav mana aselach v'ishto kayam me'aleinu ki hayam olech v'soel. So they tell him, what should we do to you so that the sea will calm down? So Yonah has laid down a line and said, I'm not crossing that, God. You told me I'll do what you want up to this point. And then payday reaches, you know, the day of payback comes and everyone's in danger because he has limited his avodat Hashem. And so now everyone comes back to him and says, okay, we're all in danger because of you. What should we do now? And here Yonah has a choice. Do I cross over and say, okay, I'll do whatever Hashem wants? And you understand the sailors are insinuating that. Yonah, what do you want us to do now? We're all in danger because you've done this. Now what should we do? What are they telling him, Yonah? What could we do? Zero. But it's all in your hands, Yonah. Do something. Do tshuva. And sometimes a person has scenarios where everything around them is yelling. Take that step. But what does Yonah say? Kill me. Solve your problem. Is that solving the problem? So what does Yonah say? Vayomer aleihem, sa'uni v'atiluni el hayam mishtokayah me'aleichem. He says, lift me, throw me into the sea, and you'll see everything will be just fine. Ki yodeya ani ki veshli hasar agadol azeh aleichem. He says, because I know it's all my fault. You're right, it's my fault. Kill me. ויחתרו האנשים להשיב אל היבשה ולא יכולו כי הים הולך וסוער עליהם. So the people try coming back. They say, okay, fine. We won't head out to sea. We'll go back to dry land. We'll drop you off. You deal with God. Don't risk our lives. So now they try to steer the ship the other way. Nothing doing. ויקראו אל אדוני ויאמרו Ana Adonai al nano veda benefesh ha'ish hazeh v'altiten aleinu dam naki. They turn their eyes to heaven. They've asked Yonah, and Yonah is not budging. So they turn their eyes to heaven and they say, God, we don't want to kill. Don't let us spill clean blood. Ki ata Adonai kasher chafatzta asita. God, you've cornered us. What are we supposed to do? They take Yonah. They wrap ropes around him. They put him down to his feet. And the sea comes down. So they pull him back in. And the sea goes wild. So they try dipping him in. And then he goes down to his belly button. And only then does the sea calm down. So they pull him back in, and the sea goes wild. So they take Yonah and they put him back in, and this time the sea only settles when he's down to his shoulders. And so they pull him back in, and the sea goes wild. So they take Yonah and they put him down, and this time the sea isn't calming down. And they let him down, and the sea isn't calming down. And they turn their eyes to heaven and they say, God, what are we supposed to do? You've cornered us. This can't be our fault. We understand he's a man of God, but what should we do now? And they let go of the rope. Vayisu et Yonah vaitilu el hayam. And they throw Yonah into the sea. Vayamod hayam mizapo. And the sea settles. Vayiru anashim yira gedola et Adonai. People take a step back, and now they're in awe of Hashem. They circumcise themselves, and they vow that they are converting to Judaism. Why did they circumcise themselves?
To become part of the Brit.
Maybe, but maybe they realized. Why hadn't they reached this conclusion all along? What was always in their way of reaching this conclusion?
Their own religion.
So we have a tradition that it is our desire for promiscuity. That Hashem created a person with a tremendous desire for promiscuity, and that stands in his way. That's, you know, whenever he's about to reach a real conclusion, he starts thinking, but if I go this route, I'm not going to be able to do all of that. No. So it could be that the idea of circumcising was an epiphany, that the What stood in their way all along was their desire for promiscuity. Now they said, okay, we can curtail that. So, at any rate, they take vows, they're going to convert. And Hashem sends a tremendous fish to swallow Yonah. Vayhi Yonah bimei hadag shelosha yamim ushlosha leilot. And Yonah is in that male fish for 3 days. That's the limit that a person can go without dying of hunger. He's there 3 days, and he doesn't die. Not normal. Being a fish for 3 days and not die. He's being burnt by the acid of the gastric juices of the fish. His hair is all burnt off. His skin is completely burnt. He's being burnt alive. He's standing in there in the gastric juices of this tremendous whale, and he doesn't concede. Day one, day two, day three. He's standing in acid. His body is burning. He knows he doesn't have that much left to live, but he doesn't give in. Sound familiar? How many times does a person have to face with challenges and doesn't give in? He doesn't give in. A person comes 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, 10 days of tshuva, but everyone knows there's a part of his heart that, like, don't talk to me about that. Leave it. We'll do tshuva about everything else. But here, no, I'm running away from Hashem. This part of my life, leave it out. After 3 days, he is converted to a female fish. And in the female fish, his suffering is expounded. And he can't handle it anymore. And finally, he was transferred from a male fish to a female fish. And inside the female fish, there are all these tiny little schools of fish. And now over there, he is suffering so greatly, he breaks. And this is very often the choice that everyone has. And this is the question when we look at Yonah and we look at the people of Nineveh. People very often refuse to see Hashem, refuse to see tshuva until they reach a point of catastrophe. When they realize Nineveh is going to be overturned, then they do tshuva. When we had the Yom Kippur War here in Israel, and you had the Syrian army advancing from the north, no one saw a way to stop them before Tel Aviv. They had broken through our lines and they just were advancing so fast that they stopped because they thought there must be an ambush here. There's no logic. How could we be advancing so fast? Thousands of people were being buried daily. You had sirens running here all day, all night. Everyone's going to bury the dead. No one thought, no one saw how we would make it out of the Yom Kippur War. We didn't have enough bullets to put in the guns of the soldier. So we end the Yom Kippur War and somehow we made it. No one knows how. All kinds of theories abound how we made it. But with heavy, heavy casualties. Now that we've had our back to the wall, that's where the tshuva movement really began. Machon Meir and the tshuva movement in the state of Israel really began when people started thinking, hey, wait a second, what's going on here? Very often until catastrophe strikes, everyone's asleep. Yonah, the giant Yonah, until he's suffering, he's had the life squeezed out of him, only then does he do tshuva. And the people of Nineveh, only when they're told 40 days and it's over. And so Yonah says, and here we have the famous prayer of Yonah, how he's prayed from the depths of the sea. And we'll skip forward to what they call the third chapter. Yonah is spit out onto dry land. And Vayhi Dvar Adonai El Yonah Shenit Leimor. God appears a second time, telling him to go to Nineveh. Kum lech el Nineveh, ha'ir ha'gedola ukrai leha et ha'kiriyah asher anochi dover elecha. Hashem tells him, go out to that great city, Nineveh. Call out to it the calling I'm telling you. Vayakom Yonah, vayelech el Nineveh, kidvar Adonai. this time Yonah goes. True tshuva is when a person is placed in exactly the same situation a second time, and this time he lives up to his duty. And so Yonah was not spit out into Nineveh, quite the contrary. He was spit out onto another territory. Now Yonah was quite a sight. Imagine a person who spent 3 days in acid. No eyelids, no eyelashes, no hair. His skin is totally destroyed. His health is decrepit. And this old man comes into the city of Nineveh. Vayakom Yonah, vayelech el Nineveh, ki dvar Adonai. Yonah goes to Nineveh as Hashem told him. V'Nineveh hayeta ir gedolah le'elohim mahalach shloshet yamim. Nineveh was a huge city, 36 miles wide, 3 days' journey. Vayachel Yonah lavo v'ir mahalach yom echad. Yonah walks into the city, a few miles, 1 day's journey. Vayikra vayomar od 40 yom v'Nineveh nepachet. He calls out. He gathers the crowd. He starts giving a speech. People see this unusual person. And who does he meet? The sailors. The sailors look at him. The sailors look at him. They say, who are you? Are you the same person? Are you the Yonah? They look at him. And they start piecing together. They saw a whale coming. They hear the story. They tell the people at Nineveh, we saw him. We were on the ship with him. He's a miraculous man. We threw him into the sea. They tell over the city the story. The people of Nineveh hear. The people of Nineveh gather around Yonah, unusual person. They believe. Vayaminu anshei Nineveh be'Elohim. They believe. What is the word be'Elohim? So the simple understanding is they believed in what was said in the name of Hashem. But we could very easily say that Elohim means strength. They believed in the strength of Hashem. One of the issues we have is we stand on Yom Kippur and we are thinking, okay, I'm hungry. Okay, it's Yom Kippur. 3 hours left. So you tell yourself, there's an Iranian threat, there's an Egyptian threat, there's a Syrian threat. There are all those 35,000 MPGs that were stolen from Libya. They say the euro might collapse. They're talking about the United States dollar collapsing. They're saying that my investments, who knows what'll happen to them. Big problems, little me, I'm hungry. That's very real. One of the greatest difficulties that a person has is Vayaminu Anshei Nineveh Be'Elokim. Believing in the strength of Hashem, believing in that connection, I can talk to Him. And the book of Yonah comes to remind us, at the end of the book, Yonah is very upset. Their tshuva wasn't even a whole tshuva. He says, Ribono Shel Olam, they're still thieves, they're still pagans. And they're still going to destroy your people. And what does Hashem say? But I want to do good. I don't need them to be 100% in order to do good. So they're not 100%. But I don't need 100%. And that is the theme we've been going with from Rosh Hashanah and we're concluding with on Yom Kippur. Remember on Rosh Hashanah we said, Rosh Hashanah is the day of man's success at court. What was his success? He ate from the forbidden fruit. What was so successful? We say no, because Hashem says he's human. I take that into account. I'm going to judge him favorably and grant him 930 years. I'm going to judge him in the best possible way within the confines of the law. And so on Yom Kippur, we conclude with the epitome of that idea. The enemy of the state, the enemy of God's people, the people who would cause the greatest Holocaust, they don't do a complete tshuva. And what does Hashem say? But they took steps forward, and I want to be merciful. And at the end of the day, there are children, there are animals, there are people there who are innocent, and if I can, I take a step towards them. What does that say for us? We're standing at the end of Yom Kippur. It is up to us to take a few steps forward. You're not going to conquer the world on Yom Kippur. You're not going to conquer yourself and suddenly switch 180 degrees, but you can take two steps, three steps, conclusive, concrete, real steps forward. And what we learn from Yonah is that that's what Hashem wants. Take your steps forward so it's not 100%. And the root of it is Vayaminu Anshei Ninveh Belokim, to believe Hashem really has the strength and He's following what's going on down here. So it's up to me to take those steps so that Bezrat Hashem, we will have a blessed year together. Gemar Chatzimah Tova to everyone.